Show thyself a man. This is the Elizabethan way, King's English, of the word show. S-H-O-W, perhaps, is the way you're used to it. But 1 Kings 2:2. It was a bedside scene as David was talking to his son Solomon. Show thyself a man. And that's the desire of our hearts for each of you during this conference. And we desire to help you in every avenue possible during this week to become a man. You know your heart tonight. Perhaps you don't. You like to know it. Maybe you wouldn't. God knows your heart. We'll settle on that. And man begins with his heart. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Out of the heart are the issues of life. Keep thine heart with all diligence, for from it, as a wellspring, comes all that you are, all that you think, all that you say, all that you desire to be. And this is quite a mouthful, isn't it? Show thyself a man. Let's turn in our Bibles to 1 Kings 2:2. When we found who was coming to this conference, and of course that's you, we found that many of you fellows had been to NAF conferences before. And just a small minority who have not been to a conference either here or in one of our areas. And so we felt led of the Lord to put this conference on sort of a seminar type of basis. By that I mean there's not going to be a lot of popular messages, a lot of group lectures when you just get challenged to go out and to do and to be. But rather, I'm going to give you a chance to do some talking this week and to do some research. And that's one of the purposes of that Bible study at 6:30 in the morning. So if nothing else happens this week, when you go blasting out of the gate of Glen Eyrie come next weekend, there's one thing that has become an insatiable desire and a burning brand on your heart, and that is to start studying this Bible like you've never studied before. Perhaps we're assuming too much when we assume that you want to study the Bible. But we're going to assume it. And if you don't, why, you'll get caught in the updraft of the conference. But we want, if anything else, to lay upon your heart to become a man of this book. There's a need for a lot of things in the world today. We haven't got time to teach you oratory. We haven't got time to teach you public speaking. We haven't time to go into this matter of the ability to have clarity of presentation in your testimony and so forth. That's good. We want men who know how to say it, and we need it. We may not get into a lot of areas of spiritual life. For instance, being a man of prayer. It'll come in. But we can't do a lot of things that we'd like to do in these 6 or 7 days. But fellows, by the grace of God, and with all of us pulling together, and with the Holy Spirit as our instructor, we want to leave, in a small way anyway, saying, Lord, help me to be a man who knows the Word of God. Great need today, isn't it? Just fellows like yourself, there on the campus, there in your job, there in the military, there in your home, there in the dormitory, who knows this book. Will you follow as we read the first four verses of 1 Kings 2. Word of prayer before we read. Heavenly Father, we would ask that in these next minutes, our hearts will be stayed upon Thee. By the Holy Spirit, help us to discipline the mind and bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Lord, You know the need tonight of every man here. You know his desires. You know what's upon his heart. And we're asking from this opening night that Thou wilt do a miracle in the life of every one of us. Lord, Thou art a miracle-working God. And it isn't too much. Lord, it's what You want us to ask. And we're asking that You'll do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think for. Lord, do a new thing in the heart of each of these men. And use the word tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now the days of David drew nigh that he should die. And he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man, and keep the charge of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, and his judgments, and his commandments, and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest, and whithersoever thou turnest thyself, that the Lord may continue his word, which he spake concerning thee, saying, If thy children take heed to their way, to walk before me in truth, with all their heart and with all their soul, there shall not fail thee, said he, a man on the throne of Israel. Easy little outline. Three things. Be strong, be a man, be obedient. And during the week, I'm sure that it'll be covered. I think Lauren is speaking Monday morning on the subject of be a man of the Word. And that's where our strength comes from. That's where our knowledge for obedience comes from. And that's where we become a man. We want to consider for a while tonight, in preparation of our hearts for the week, and for our theme, the phrase, show thyself a man. And you see, it's very personal, isn't it? It's you he's talking to. It's you who is the recipient of God's blessing and promises tonight. Show thyself a man. It isn't the desire or the plan of this conference to so equip you so you can go out and help others to be men. That it will be a fruit. But primarily, gang, this week, we're concerned about you. Your heart's need. Your time with God. Your witnessing. Your vision for the world. And David, who said this, knew how to put the bee right back on himself. Remember Psalm 139? Search me, O God, and know my heart. Tomorrow morning I'm supposed to speak in one of the churches in town. I was going to speak on Psalm 51. And I was noticing in the first 6 to 8 verses how personal David is. You know, it's the psalm that he prays to God after his sin with Bathsheba. And he says three little words. that we don't like to say. It was personal. He says to the Lord in Psalm 51, I have sinned. I am a sinner. I need to be cleansed. In sin did my mother conceive me. It's personal. We like to get notes. We like to get ideas. We like to get outlines. We like to have messages. We want to be able to take some tapes home to bless others, to help this man, to challenge this youth group, to give this intervarsity group a shot in the arm this next year. But we're talking about you tonight and tomorrow and Monday, next Friday. Show thyself a man. Now, if we don't step on some toes this week, not in ourselves, but if the Lord isn't really putting the squeeze and the old pressure on and, you know, sort of on you, you're going to miss it. There should be some squirming. Because we've asked the Lord to give us something to help us to narrow it right down, to see ourselves. We've taken 1 Kings 2:2, show thyself a man. I don't know where I heard the outline. It could be Dr. Bob's. I was going to say it sounds like his outlines, but that isn't very nice. Someplace along the line I run across the outline, show thyself a man. If you're not a man, you're a mouse. If you're not a man, then you're a mule. If you're not a man, you're a moocher. You've got the four alternatives. A mouse, no backbone. No convictions, no purpose, no drive. You're a mule, stubborn, rebellious, ornery, selfish, self-centered, moocher. You're always getting it from somebody else's plate. You're always feeding off of what somebody else has fed off first, and then you're drinking off of their bottle. Or you're a man. Show thyself a man. And then this word show is an interesting word. Titus 2:7, Paul says the same thing to that young fellow. Show thyself a pattern. As you go, Titus, out to have a ministry, be a walking example, or let me say another way, be the living embodiment of your message. And fellas, an example is one message that everybody will listen to. They can't miss it. It's obvious. It's right there. And that's what he's talking about here. You put on in your life, in your habits, in your smile, in your gestures, in your talk, in your poise, in the Galatians 5, 22 and 23 of your life. And by that means, you demonstrate Solomon to all the people of Israel that you're a man of God. He started off great, didn't he? I think it's the very next chapter. No, it's over a ways. See, the chapter. Well, it isn't even there. Where is it? Yes, chapter 3, verse 7. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father, and I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or to come in. He started off with a real quality of manliness. But through compromise, through unholy allegiances, through 1 Kings, what is it? Isn't that far over? I'll just give you the verse. 11:1. But King Solomon loved many strange women. And through these different avenues, pride of his own wisdom, People came to him from all over the world to hear that which he had to say. He failed to show himself a man. He failed to demonstrate. He failed to illustrate. He failed to be a proof of what was upon David, his father's heart, for the young buck. As I was contemplating 1 Kings 2:2, I couldn't help but go back into David's life. And here he's upon his deathbed. His life has passed. Can't relive it. Can't change it. He can reflect upon it. And he can desire his son to be that which he was or that which he had desired to be. And I want to mention three things. There are many others, but three things that I believe could have been in David's mind as he said, Solomon, show yourself a man. First of all, and I'm sure that it must have been in his mind because it stuck out like a sore thumb in his life. Solomon, be a man in purity. David lost his throne. He lost his peaceful nation. He lost some of the promises of God because he slipped. And he didn't have 1 John 1:9 as we have it. He had the essence of it, of course. Cleansing by the blood of a sacrifice that would be acceptable. But fellows, there are some sins that you can commit and do commit. God will take away the penalty. But oftentimes you have to bear the scars and the heartache and the consequences the rest of your life. And I'm sure that David, I don't suppose he knew all that this son had, but I'm sure that as he was raising him and as he was with him, he saw the potential. And there was a desire in Dad's heart. Oh, son, keep yourself clean. Flee also youthful lusts. Equated with 2 Timothy, the 2nd chapter, verse 21. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. And then flee youthful lusts. May I pause a minute tonight, men, to ask you, how's the purity of your heart tonight? How are the imaginations of your thoughts? This is not confession, just an honest evaluation. My flesh is a liar. And many a time I get a hold of the 7th chapter of Romans, and I know just what old Paul's saying there. The good that I would, I do not, and the evil, the sin that I wouldn't do, I do. I would that a trap door would open up and I could go right down, never to be seen again. Many a time, the imaginations of my thoughts were to be revealed. How about the old heart tonight? Solomon didn't really heed his dad, did he? He got really mixed up. See, God allows things to happen. He allowed Solomon to have all these wives and concubines, mistresses, whatever you want to call them. But it doesn't mean because God allowed it that he put his approval upon it and he sanctified it and he blessed it. For we know that he didn't. And men, you can get away, seemingly. But I come right back to Galatians 6. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Whether people see it or not. Oh, Solomon, my son, show thyself of man in purity. When I say purity, I'm not thinking just of sexual problems and the gals. I'm thinking purity far wider than that. The sin that does so easily beset. Jealousy is an impurity. Bitterness is an impurity. Selfishness is impurity. Show yourself a man. Those of you who have been to NAF conferences have heard Doss perhaps tell about Erwin Moon. Erwin and Doss were very close buddies. In fact, they were sort of co-pastors of a church out in Los Angeles for a while. Erwin was going back to be with Moody Institute, either just prior or during the time of the World War II. And that's when he began to make these movies. So he went to have prayer with his daddy. And everybody knew his father as Daddy Moon. Great man of God. Just sort of a simple old stick. And yet everybody loved him, loved to be around him, and loved to hear his counsel, hear him pray. Erwin went to his dad and said, "Dad, I'm leaving. I want to have prayer with you. Before I go, anything on your heart that you'd like to share with me? What would you share with your son?" I'm sure Daddy Moon realized that Erwin was stepping out into a ministry, an opportunity that would just probably have worldwide consequences. Well, he said, "Son, I've got one verse for you. 1 John 1:9. For if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." What a verse to give a son. What a God to forgive the sinner. Hallelujah, what a Savior. And it's yours tonight. Show yourself a man. Oh, God, don't you lay your head upon your rack tonight. If there's anything known or unknown, omission or commission, years ago, or even today, before either out here on these lawns or there beside that bed, you get it squared away, okay? That's between you and God. You'll miss the conference. It'll be just like a Los Angeles smog hanging over you all this week until you clear it away and you can begin to breathe fresh air. I'm cleansed. Boy, let's go to it. Lord, what do you have for me this week? Second thing, show yourself a man in purpose. Once God gets you cleaned up, then, as we read in 2 Timothy 2, then you become a vessel unto honor, meet for the Master's use. God doesn't just clean us up and sanctify us and wash us with His blood just to be on the trophy case. He wants to use us. He wants to use you. You are the channel of blessing. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You say, "Well, Bob, why would David tell Solomon that? Why do you think that's in his mind?" Because if you read the Psalms, David keeps coming back to this fact that he must have been a man of tremendous purpose and conviction. He had goals that nothing could vary him from. I'm thinking of, for instance, Psalm 27:4. Mentally pull it out of the little card file up there and review it. Remember what it says? One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may behold the Lord, and that I may inquire in His holy temple. One thing. What's the one thing in your heart tonight? What is the dominant driving force that has, as it were, lit the candle of your life and just pushes you on? I think one of the most heartbreaking things, guys, is to sit down with a man who doesn't have any purpose in life. He doesn't have any aims. What do you want to do? I don't know, Bob. What do you think God wants you to do? I wish I knew. Well, we talk about the sinner aimlessly wandering through life. Oh, how much more tragic for a Christian fella not to have his wagon hitched to the star. Not to have a purpose. Oh, you can quote Philippians 3:10, 3:14. You can know Colossians 1:16 through 18 as far as where Christ is going to be. But has it been translated into everyday life? Is it theoretical or is it actual? Showing yourself a man of purpose. This one thing. You remember David? Let me say it another way. I was reading today a book written by Donald Laird, L-A-I-R-D, who is quite a psychiatrist, I suppose, a writer of human ways of leadership, Donald and Eleanor Laird. I forget the name of the book. It's something on leadership. And he says, most business executives do not need to change goal, they need to change grip. Keep the goal, just change the grip. And he uses a golfing illustration. A fellow was going to give up the game of golf because he was just miserably massacring everything around. He didn't need to give up the game of golf. He just needed to revise his grip and his stance and his form. And then it became an enjoyable game again. And if things go wrong with us, we throw the whole thing up. Oh, I can't stay in the Bible. Oh, this devotional life. Oh, I tried to witness. Father, don't change the goal, just change the grip. It isn't so much, as we say, who has you or who you have, but who has you. It isn't so much what you possess, but what possesses you. Telling the trainees, you guys will forgive me, yesterday in a training class, I have a little phrase that maybe it was to the conference, I guess it was. Edith Torrey, Bible teacher I had in school, used to give us constantly in our class, "'Tis the set of your sail and not the gale that determines the way we go." But oh, how surprising to find that the guy that's sitting in your seat tonight doesn't have his sail set. Turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 20, verse 20. Acts 20:20. This is a verse on vision. So I would ask you tonight, do you have 20/20 vision? It is. Boy, this Paul really had vision. He tells it to you right here. "You know how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house." And the next verse is the rest of the sentence. Thoroughness in the way he operated for God.
He could talk to a man, he could talk to a crowd. He could talk to the Jew, he could talk to the Gentile. He could talk from a pulpit, he could go house to house visitation. But notice the phrase, the first phrase of verse 20, how I kept back nothing. And this is a nautical term that Paul uses. And he says here, you know how I have let out my sails. You know how I have unfurled the canvas. In other words, everything was let out so that if there was any wind, it could whip in and catch me and take me publicly from house to house. Anyway, he was moving for God. Solomon, show yourself a man of purpose. A lot of you guys are sitting in port, the sails are down, the latches are buttoned, and you're in the mothball fleet. You know what I mean? You're just sitting idle. No holding power, no driving power, no guiding power. Just sitting. Going downstream. Show yourself a man. God help you at Glenary this week that you'll drive some stakes and say, by the grace of God, this is one thing I'm never going to have to come back and do again. I confirm it, Lord, this week here. Have you ever driven any stakes? Dr. V. Raymond Edmond, a president of Wheaton College, tells about some little woods outside of Boston, Massachusetts, or up in that part of the country anyway, where he took his doctorate and where he had a church with the Alliance. And he said that up there in that part of the country, there was this little woods. And in that little woods, there was a stump. And that was his place where he would retreat to get alone with God. He said, many a time as I was either sitting on the stump or kneeling by the stump with a Bible there on that old hunk of a tree, God would bring something to my heart. And I'd fight it and I'd fight it and it would just be like a battle. And like Jacob of old, sort of a peniel. And he said, I'd look around and I'd find a piece of stick. And I'd put it over here and I'd just take a rock and I'd just dry that little stick in. Say, Lord, there's the stake. It's settled. You'll never have to talk to me about that again. Now, you don't have to go out here someplace and find a stick and a boulder and drive it in. But you need to do it spiritually. And say, Lord, it's settled. Here is a conviction. And I'm heading on out to sea. And then the last thing. You know, these are dangerous days for me because my watch is in hock. It's in the cleaners. I haven't got the slightest clue what time it is. I just sort of go by you. You start yawning and looking at your watch, and I figure it's about time to wind up. And saw one guy get his calendar out and begin to check things, so I figure it's about time here. And I don't want to tell the gang, to be immortal, a guy doesn't have to be everlasting. And so I do plan to check out here. Well, one last thing. I'm sure that if I was David, I'd have something in mind when I said to Solomon, show yourself a man. I'd want him to be clean, because as his dad, I know the penalty of sin. And the heartache and the grief and the sorrow to my own heart and my family and to the men of my army and my nation. Everyone suffered. I'd want him to be a man who had appointed life and was moving towards the bullseye. But there's something else from David's life I'm sure he wanted to share with Solomon, and he mentions it in verse 3. And that was, show yourself a man in productivity. Solomon, produce. Don't just be a good talker. Be a guy who can cut the mustard.
Oh, how many times, fellows, we've heard Doss challenge us. Emotion is no substitute for production. And production is no substitute for reproduction. Lots of fuss, but no fusion. Lots of activity, but no achievement. Lots of noise, but no real driving power. We take courses in personal evangelism. We sing, Lord, lay some soul upon my heart and love that soul through me. And we've got in our Bibles an outline. But the proof of the pudding is in the production. Are you talking to men about Jesus Christ? Are you going forth weeping, bearing precious seed, knowing that doubtless you shall come again rejoicing, bringing your sheaves with you? I know that I should meditate in the law of the Lord day and night. I know that I should be a man of this book. I want to study it. I want to read it. I want to listen to it more. David says the man who wants to and who does is like a tree planted by the rivers of water. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he what? Doeth. Shall prosper. Productivity. In just a few days, thousands of high school boys around the country are going to put on those shoulder pads and hip pads. And they're going to begin to lace up those cleated shoes. And try on that new Wilson helmet made of plastic and cushioned on the inside. They're going to slap it to see if it really does protect. Boy, does he look beautiful in that nylon satin uniform. And from Monday through Friday, come slush or rain or hail or sleet or wind or what may come, he practices. But guys, where do you win ball games? You don't win ball games in the locker room. You don't win ball games adjusting. You don't win ball games by having the most beautiful uniforms. You don't win ball games alone by just being there on the practice field as a prima donna. It's out there on that 100-yard stripe. On Friday night and Saturday afternoon. What do you do under fire? Ron York was in the Marines. You can be in the Marines for 20 years in boot camp if they let you stay. And you'd never know if he was really a Marine. The Marines that we know about are the guys that came back from the South Pacific, huh? The Marines that we know about are the fellows that tore up the seashore there of Beirut a few weeks ago. Your Christianity cannot be judged fully by what you are right here this week at Glen Eyrie. I would not want to judge you by the size of your memory pack or your Bible or the blackness of your notebook. Or what you talk about alone. I want to take you out and see what you do with men as they are in the raw in sin. What you are when you're a long ways from Glen Eyrie. Day after day after day, week after week after week. We are workers together with Him. Show yourself a man. Say a word of prayer. our God tonight. Thou art our God. Early in this conference, we would seek Thee and know Thee and let our hearts be known. And David, although he sleepeth in body, is present with Thee, yet he yet speaketh tonight to us as a band of men. And we would hear this, beloved one of yours, this one who served his generation according to the will of God, the sweet singer of Israel. We'd hear him say to us as men, Bob, Jack, Dick, Bill, from my life, from what I have seen and what I've gone through, I want you to show yourself a man. Lord God, tonight we thank you for Holy Scripture. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that takes it and drives it as a sword into our heart. We're thankful, Father, tonight for the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ at Calvary. We're thankful tonight we serve a Savior who's at the right hand of the throne of God, interceding for us. And we remember what John said, My little children, these things I write unto you that ye sin not, but if any man sin, he have an advocate with the Father, even Jesus Christ the righteous. Lord Jesus, be our lawyer tonight. And on our behalf, make known to the Father our desire to be men of God, His men. Soldiers of the cross. Take this conference and make it the highlight of our life. Lord, I would pray that you'll use Bob Cook this week. Oh, so touch his heart that as he stands to speak to us day by day, he'll be the oracle of God. Bringing messages that are fresh from off the altar. Lord, we as men pray with and for him that thou wilt do great things to his heart and answer his prayer. Bring Lauren back to us refreshed, renewed in spirit and in vision, and empower him as he speaks day by day to us in the mornings. And then for dear Bob Boardman, oh, how we ask for a special touch upon this man of God. And although we may be dealing somewhat with the technical aspects of Bible study and some of the tools that we can use, and more of the how, I pray, Lord, that the fire and the warmth and the vitality will be in that 6:30 hour each morning. May our hearts glow as you talk to us morning by morning. All of this we just put into the capsule of prayer and shoot it to you, Lord, and say, here we are. Empty vessels. Clean. Ready for you to fill and use. And everyone said, amen.